On this edition of Magic Pod Squad, presented by Kia, we catch up with Magic rookie Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony discusses where he got his deep love and passion for the game of basketball. Then he takes us on his basketball journey, which started in high school in Manhattan at Archbishop Molloy, ultimately graduating from the famed Oak Hill Academy in Virginia. Then the decision to go to UNC. What other schools was he considering? And then he takes us behind the scenes on draft night 2020, when the Magic made him the 15th overall selection in this past draft. Great behind the scenes on what it was like for him and that moment with his family. And of course, we relive his game winner against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Exactly how many times do you think Cole Anthony has rewatched that great shot? All that more on this edition of Magic Pod Squad, presented by Kia, with Magic rookie Cole Anthony.
This is Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic.
This is Evan Fournier.
This is Jonathan Isaac.
This is Mo Bamba.
Check out what's new with the Orlando Magic Pod Squad.
The host of characters give you a behind-the-scenes look at Magic basketball.
The Magic Pod Squad has you covered. Subscribe and rate on iTunes and the Google Play Store today.
And this podcast is presented to you by Kia, official vehicle of the Orlando Magic, and it is Magic Pod Squad, and we welcome in Magic rookie Cole Anthony, kind enough to join us here on this edition of Pod Squad. Cole, how are you?
Doing pretty well. What about yourself?
Doing good. We're excited to catch up with you. It's hard to believe that we're now 18 games into the season, and none of us have been able to meet you face to face. Right? I mean, is that except for
Well, hold on, Dante? Don, do you want me to? Since
unfortunately for you, the only one you've met is George. I'm very sorry about that.
And let's be honest, he is sick of me. We're 1 month in, and he is already sick of my face.
We know how that goes. We know how that goes.
Yeah, we can relate.
I understand.
We thought we might start. Maybe George, we can get an introduction. So you probably don't know who any of us are. So it'd be fun. We can introduce ourselves and then get started.
Well, Cole has talked. Dante, he's talked to you. I mean, he's talked to you after the game winner in Minnesota, and he's talked to you last night against when we had his career high against Charlotte. Cole, I don't know if you know David Steele. He has been with us since 1989. He has been with us since the very beginning. He's a Magic Hall of Famer. He's our play-by-play guy. He's the voice. He's seen everything there is to know about Magic basketball. So if you ever need a history lesson, that's going to be your guy. Yep. And then we have Jeff Turner, his right-hand man, color analyst, was an Olympian, 1984 team. And he also liked to just live on the baseline corner, on the left-hand corner. We would call that Turnerville, because that's pretty much, if he wasn't in Turnerville, he was just hacking somebody. He was just fouling the hell out of somebody. And that was JT's job too. So,
and he's the mayor of Winter Park. If there's anything you need in Winter Park, then Jeff Turner is your man.
There you go. There you go. And I'm old enough to have played against your dad. So there you go. That kind of that dates me a little bit. So
that's awesome. And if you go to Stetson, George was the one that filled all the Gatorade bottles for everybody. Basketball team. So he's got
dude, he's never been there. He's no reason to go to Stetson. No reason.
Well, Cole, we appreciate you doing this. And I think you probably feel the excitement in town, going around town, what you've seen on social media. This city is a buzz. They love having you here. They love your energy. They love your charisma. Where does your energy, where does your, you know, your zeal for this game, for life, your charisma, where does all that stem from?
I just really appreciate everything that's around me. I appreciate that I'm able to play basketball every single day. I love sport. So just being able to do what I love and then shoot, get paid for it, that ain't half bad. So that's pretty cool. So I definitely don't have anything to complain about on that side. And then I'm here. I'm in Orlando. It's warm, so I definitely can't be mad about that. I've been in New York where it's cold all the time most of my life. So this is I definitely like this warm weather a little better. So that's another reason to be happy. And I have two of my best friends down here living with me. So I mean, life is good. Life is good. Despite everything else that's going on, life is good.
No, amen to that. You know, Cole, it's interesting. You're born in Portland, but most of your life, pretty much raised in Manhattan. How old would you have been when you got to New York City? And what are your kind of some of your earlier memories of coming up in Manhattan?
Shoot, I mean, I was in New York, but I have a sister who's about 2 years, 3 months younger than me, and I was in New York before she was born. So, I mean, pretty much all my memories are in New York. I really don't have any memories of Portland. And I had never – I never went back to Portland, Oregon until my senior year of high school. That was my first time ever going back. So it's just, I really don't have any memories there, but I definitely claim it. I was born there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cole, what's your first memory of your dad and the NBA? What your first NBA memory, the first time that you realized, hey, my dad does something pretty cool?
It's probably this one. So I think I was at this Knicks game with my dad. I was sitting courtside with him. And so we was at a Knicks game. Knicks were playing. And I don't really remember much, but I just remember that I guess I got excited because someone hit a shot or something or was about to hit a shot or something. And I knocked my drink over onto the court and they had to stop the game. And I just remember that it was like they ended up losing the game. It was like in the article. I think they were like blaming me for like the sudden loss of what's I'm looking for? Of momentum. And so I think it's just funny because I used to have this babysitter. She used to keep that it was on Magda on the fridge of that newspaper article of me messing up the game. It was just it was always cool.
Did you ever, Cole, did you ever sit down and, like, you know, watch games with your dad and, you know, or anything like that? Just, I've got two daughters. And, you know, when I would watch NBA games with them, they're young like you. And, you know, they would see LeBron James and they just look at me and say, nah, I can't see you playing in the same game as LeBron James, you know. So did you ever have any experience like that with your dad?
No, I mean, if you're talking about us watching his film, we never really watched any film on him.
Any games, anything like that.
Me and my dad, we watch a lot of basketball together. Like, it was, we don't watch him. I mean, that wasn't good. That wasn't the best basketball. Though. So we definitely don't watch him. But joking aside.
That's what my girls say too. Oh, this isn't very fun.
But we'll watch a lot of like film on me, and then we'll just watch a lot of film on other great players. So I mean. It's just this respect thing. I know he's been through everything that I want to go through as well, and if not more. So I mean, we definitely watch a lot of basketball together.
Well, how about the basketball scene in New York City? You end up, you know, your first 3 years are at Archbishop Molloy in Queens, but I imagine you're playing pickup basketball games. I mean, some of the best, right, are coming through that city. How about some of those competitive matchups as you were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I never really got the chance to play a lot of like real competitive pickup games in New York. Just everyone was so divided, especially like during the season and stuff. And then just summers and stuff, you would be doing AAU. So, I mean, but in terms of like the high school season, and like, I remember we had my first AAU tournament in high school, EYBL, the first session was in New York. So that was like, that right there was also, I think it was in Brooklyn. So that was pretty cool right there. That was, I think it's the first and last time they ever did it there. And that was just, that was really cool just to be able to play in front of my family and stuff. I was nervous, but it was cool. It was cool. But then just going back to high school, it was fun. Everyone's super competitive. Just no one really cared about who you are, what your name is. They was going at your head every game.
Cool. I wanted to ask you this now, since we're talking about your high school career. So you did finish up at Archbishop Molloy. You went to another school. So let me just set the story here. So I'm vacationing in Western North Carolina, and I decided that I was going to go see, going to the University of West Virginia. And yeah. I was going to see my daughter play volleyball, and I don't like to do interstates and everything. I'm a back roads kind of guy. So I'm traveling these back roads, and I come across the Virginia state line, and I'm on some road. I think it's Highway 58. It's a winding road, guys. And all of a sudden, I pass this big gate, and it says Oak Hill Academy. And I was like, what?
Is this where Oak Hill Academy is? If you ended up there, you must have been really out the way. Oak Hill's not a place you just stumble on by accident. You just happen to be driving by. You must have been lost, like really lost. I know your GPS wasn't working because there's no internet out there.
So Cole, how does a kid from New York City end up at Oak Hill Academy? And then the second part of it's got to be culture shock, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the only way a kid from New York City ends up at a place like Oak Hill is when your father says you're going to Oak Hill and you can't do anything about it. So that's what happened.
There you go.
I just he said, Cole, you're going to Oak Hill. I ain't questioned. No, I said, all right, Dad, I got you. Mom was like, Cole, I don't really want you to go there, but she's like, it's difficult that I've heard some things about. I'm like, Mom, I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna handle this. I'm gonna be a better person, better basketball player when I leave here. And we ended up liking the school. Love Coach Smith, love all the coaches there, love the players. So, I mean, really ended up having no complaints. But it was a little bit of a culture shock. I mean, the thing that I didn't realize before I got to Oak Hill, so first off, I thought it was all-boys school. It turns out there are girls there, probably only about 40 of them, and probably 30 of them are foreign, and 20 of them don't speak English. But then the other part, I didn't realize that Oak Hill was a school for, borderline military school. I didn't realize that. That's what I didn't realize. So, like, it's just like some of the kids there, just like you. I talk to some of the kids there, and you just finding out, how'd you guys end up here? And just some of the stories there, I'm like, I don't know why I'm here next to you. I let my mom baby me a little bit. I wasn't that bad.
Is that a place like you don't go visit, right? Like you just, your dad says you're going. Had you ever made a campus visit before you signed the papers?
No, I didn't. He did. He made that visit.
Okay.
How about that?
How about your decision to go to North Carolina, Cole? What was that all about?
So this decision was kind of close to the Oak Hill decision. My dad was like, Cole, I think you're let me rephrase that. So I ended up, I had like a school, a Final Five. It was Wake Forest, Notre Dame, Carolina, Georgetown, and Oregon. And I actually did love all five of the schools, loved all the coaching staff, loved the campuses. And it was cool. I ended up making the decision to go to Carolina myself. But I mean, my dad ended up telling me, it's just funny. I really thought I made a decision myself. And my dad, right when I committed, said, Cole, he said, you were always going to Carolina. I'm just glad you made the decision yourself. So, I mean, but,
hey, that's good. That's good parenting right there.
That's good parenting.
That's good right there.
But, we've all pulled that one on our children before, Cole.
I'm going to have to get some techniques, I think from your dad. I gotta learn these Jedi mind tricks, I think. That's what I got to learn.
Hey, look, I don't know what subconscious mind tricks he got going on, but he made it work.
I got to think Patrick Ewing was pretty upset. A good friend, right? Greg Anthony. I think you probably thought you were headed there.
Yeah, no, that was my guy. I came a lot like that. That's the thing. Like, that's what, like, I couldn't go wrong with any of the decisions I made to go to any of the schools. I really did love every school that was recruiting me. So, I mean, but I just, Carolina was, ended up visiting Carolina multiple times, and just, I ended up falling in love with the school. So, and the coaching staff.
You know, Cole, where along your journey did you realize this was pretty fun, and I might be able to make a pretty good living out of doing this basketball thing? When did it kind of start to gel and you kind of start to think about it that way?
So I always had a dream to go to the NBA. For a while, it was just more of a kind of a kid's dream. I never like thought it was going to happen. I just kind of expected I would end up in the NBA somehow, some way. But then I think it was probably around maybe going to sixth grade or nationals. So we went to D1 nationals. I think it was my second year going. And there was this team from New Jersey. So they were kind of like another local team. They're kind of deep in Jersey called Team Nelson. And they were kind of like the best team in like the tri-state area. And we went to nationals and ended up playing in our pool play. And we ended up beating them. And so everyone was hyped. We were all hyped. And then the next day we had practice and our coach pulls up everyone in and like has like a whole speech about how, y'all see how Cole be working, man. He just had 40 on the best team in the tri-state area. And then so I'm looking around like, I had 40? Whoa. I was like, whoa. And so he comes and hands me his phone, said, yeah, you have 4. I said, whoa. So I'm showing the phone around like, yeah, I just did that. And so like after that, I mean, the next game I ended up having 30. And so like this is like in going to sixth grade where you're probably only putting up like 50, 60 points as a team. And so like this is just like, I was like, all right. So I feel like, I can do this here. I feel like I can keep doing this joint. And just from there, I just kept pushing and just try to get better every day.
Dante, isn't that funny that sixth grade is like when my dream died, right? Like sixth grade is when you realize, well, hey, maybe I could play high school ball, and then that's probably going to be it for this kid. I think that's going to be the end of the line.
Might be able to make varsity as a senior.
That's right.
You know what I love about that story is that Jeff and I talk about this all the time. There are born scorers. Jeff, JT and I, we believe that's true. There are there are people that God just gave them unbelievable gifts, and you just were born to score the basketball. I guess that's kind of what you're saying, right? I mean, it's come naturally to you from a very early age.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say it definitely probably was one of the more natural things to come to me, but it's just from there, it's just been all hard work. I've worked my butt off and continue to work my butt off every single day, and just don't want to give it all up to talent, want to give it up more as a hard work.
What about baseball? What did you not like about baseball? You had me laughing last night. It wasn't meant to be on the baseball field, huh?
Oh yeah, no. Baseball I never really got that rush from playing baseball that I got from basketball or just any other sports. I mean, it's just like, now also I think it was one of my last games playing baseball. I remember I got hit in the face with a ball. I got a really bloody nose. Yep.
Good night.
I mean, like, I was like, just like, this ain't really ever happened to me from basketball. I've fallen on my head a few times, but I ain't really good with blood.
Did you play anything else? Yeah, practices too.
Baseball practice is not – it's too much standing around.
No good.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
I'm an active guy. I like to keep moving around.
What else did you play, Cole, though, as a kid? I mean, and when did it switch to just basketball exclusively for you?
I played baseball, soccer when I was younger, and I actually in middle school played football in my middle school team. It wasn't really anything serious. I was all right in football. I feel like I could have been all right in football. I kind of played like every position, running back, wide receiver, quarterback, but it was never serious. It was just a little middle school team. And that was actually the first time I really ever played football. So I just wanted to have that experience, and it was cool. It was cool. But
did mom pull the plug on that one?
Nah, I had to pull. I pulled the plug. So, my mom, she never wanted me to play, but I told her, I was like, Mom, I got to try this. I had to try this. And so after eighth grade, that was the last time I ever even considered, ever even played another sport.
Fair enough. Right. How about your time at UNC, Cole? It's interesting. You start the season, you played the first 9 games, and then you missed 11 games, and then you played the last 10 or 12 or so. But I imagine your dad mentioned his college experience, what it was like winning a national championship at UNLV. Did any of that come into play? You're a competitor anyway. I don't think anyone would be surprised that you wanted to come back and play and finish the season on your terms. But how much did the stories you heard about college experience and maybe from your dad even just make you want to get out there and finish?
I didn't really hear many stories. The only stories I really heard is about people kind of in a position that I'm in going back and not playing. And so, I mean, I personally, I don't blame anyone who makes the decision. It's just, there's nothing wrong with that. I feel the best way. It's a couple things. Just one, I feel the best way to get better is on-court experience. I mean, you can work out as much as you want. You can go wherever you want, work out. But the best way to get better, and that's even something I've learned this season too, even more, is that the more you get out there and play in actual games is the best way to improve. So that was the one thing. And then the other is just that I love basketball. And so in terms of loving basketball, I love Carolina. I made a commitment to my coaches, my teammates, the fan, I just wanted to get back out there. I just felt like I owed them more. I mean, I definitely was not 100%, but I felt like I owed them more.
How great is that, guys? The guy loves to play and wants to play. I mean, is that refreshing? That's a great to hear.
That's the perfect answer for me, I think. That's the perfect answer. So let's forward to draft night, okay? You're all in your place there. Tell me the experience of draft night, what that was like. I mean, there's only one of us on this other person on the podcast here that's been through the draft. What was that like for you? And then to hear your name called, just what was that like for you, your family, for everybody?
It was crazy because, I mean, just honestly going into that day, I was unsure where, like, I honestly had no idea where I was going to end up. Like, leading up into the draft, we couldn't find like a baseline of like, all right, a team that guaranteed was going to draft me. And so we were just on edge. Like, everyone was on edge. I was kind of just laid back, kind of like, everything's going to work. Everything's going to work out. But like, I was nervous too. Like, in the back of my head, I was like, man, like, I really don't know where I'm going to end up. And so just that was hard. And kind of when, I think my agent called me, I think after the 13th pick, he called me and said, Orlando's going to take you. And I was like, and so at that moment right there, my sister starts screaming and breaking down, crying. I'm like, Ellie, and I told her, I was like, Ellie, you got to shut up. Like, I'm like, the camera's on. This is not your moment. If someone's gonna cry, it's gonna be me. So we were actually worried, like, because everyone was like, "Yo, you're going to Orlando. You're going to Orlando." But my dad was like, "Yo, Cole, you better calm down. Boston might take you." And so we were just thinking about that, and I was just like, "Man, like, I kind of want to go to Orlando. I kind of got my mind set there." And so just when I heard my name get picked, I kind of just had a flurry of emotions just rush through me. And I just like, I didn't know if I wanted to, I started off laughing, was happy, and then transitioned into a cry. I just didn't really know how to react.
That's fantastic.
It was all just natural. And it was a great moment for you and your family. I know. What about your experience in Orlando so far? What has been impressed you, maybe surprised you more than anything else about your arrival in Orlando and in the NBA?
Let's see. What's impressed me is how warm it is down here. That's probably what I think impressed me. I love that. Yeah. I can't stress how much I appreciate the weather down here. And it's just, it's awesome. So I'm a big fan of warm weather. And then, what surprised me is just that the NBA is hard. It's definitely hard. I mean, I've been struggling kind of early this season, even like up until a few games ago. And I just feel like I've finally started to figure out how the NBA works, how to be patient, just at the same time, slowing the game down in my head, but also playing faster. So, I mean, it's definitely been hard, but I really feel like I've been turning a corner as of late. And I just feel like this team has also been turning a corner as of late. So I'm just super, super happy.
David, I'm thinking about your question and the way things are right now with their restrictions on them and everything.
Yeah.
I guess, Cole, you don't get to go out and just go to a restaurant or go hang out with your buddies or anything. It's in your apartment at the arena. So you could be anywhere. It's just warm going from your house to the arena, I guess, right now.
Yeah, I got a nice little porch. I mean, so it's warm out there. I just stepped out there a few minutes ago, and it was pretty pleasant.
You like that. What about the feedback from fans, Cole? Have you felt that? Have you felt the love from the city?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that people are excited that I'm here. And so that excites me. It makes me even happier to be here.
You know what's interesting, Cole? You mentioned you're figuring things out, and it certainly looks like it the last couple of games. And I know, you'll continue to work. But I imagine your dad's giving you input. Your coach is giving you input. Your vets are giving you input. I mean, how difficult is it to process all that? And what's your mentality as kind of all of that is coming at you? And you also have a great feel for it yourself. So you got to process all of that.
Yeah, I mean, so what I do is I just try to get all the advice I can. But at the end of the day, realize that this team drafted me for who I am. So just continue to do what I do and what I've done my whole life. And so but at the same time, keep what everyone's telling me in the back of my head and just when it's necessary to try to apply it. So it was kind of tough at first. Beginning of the season, I was kind of trying to take what everyone was saying and trying to do it to the extreme. And at times I would be too passive. At times I would go too hard to score. So it was just that, it was just finding that balance. And then at the end of the day, just kind of clearing my mind and just playing basketball.
I was going to ask you, Cole, you've been asked about your game-winning shot from different angles and everything. I want to approach it from a different angle. So you took off down the tunnel, right? Were you surprised at how fast George Galante was to be able to chase you down and get you back out for your interview with Dante? George was moving pretty quickly. That's not as fast as I've ever seen him go.
I don't know how fast he was moving because I just know that when I was running throughout that tunnel, he was right there in the middle of the tunnel and ready to stop me. And I almost just ran right by him. Let me run to the locker room. Hold on.
You didn't almost just run by me. I mean, you did twice.
I'm gonna feel kind of bad because it's not really much he could do. I'm gonna throw him a bone this time. That's what I was thinking.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate that because here I am with my gloves on, sprinting down the hallway trying to get him back. But we got him back, guys. We got him back.
Yeah. You got to know, Cole, when you hit a shot like that and win a game with no time on the clock, you're going to be doing a few interviews. You know, you got to understand that's going to happen now.
Yeah, you got to come talk to us. You got to come talk to us. That's part of it. So
I was just still trying to process the moment. So
have you processed it now? A couple days later? Yeah. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Coach Clifford. Let's finish up with the game-winning shot, though. Go ahead.
Yeah. What do you think about it? Have you watched it again? I'm sure your phone was blowing up. What have you, now that you've had time to think about it, that's just a special moment for you.
Yeah. I mean, I probably, honestly, I didn't end up watching the shot until probably like an hour and a half after the game had ended. And we were like back in the hotel. I mean, I think I was on the bus actually. And then after I watched it once, I probably watched it about 277 more times. I was just like, y'all really? Because, like, I'm in my head, I'm like, did I really just do that? So, now, and even today, like, if I happen to scroll across the video, I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch that. It just keeps helping me boost my confidence. So, I mean, it's definitely made me more confident in how I'm just playing. And I think it's also helped my teammates just trust me a little more. So, it was a big moment.
I've probably watched it a couple hundred times too, to be honest with you.
You're right.
I wanted to ask you about Coach Clifford. You know, he's known as a guy that's so thorough, so well prepared. He's one of the most respected coaches in the NBA. He also can get on players a little bit from time to time when they're not doing things the right way. How have you responded to his coaching? It seems like you guys have a very good relationship. Again, we're not around the team as we have been for all of the previous years working in this business, so it's a little difficult to get a great feel for it, but give us your view of the coach and your relationship with the staff.
Just in terms of my relationship with the whole entire staff, I mean, just everyone's been really welcoming, especially after Markel went down, unfortunately. Like, just everyone's kind of came to me and just really tried to keep me on the right path, and just like they let me know I'm doing something good, and they let me know when I'm doing something bad, and just always have advice that just helped me out there. And so, I mean, I just am really grateful to everyone on the staff for that. And then in terms of just my relationship with Coach Clifford, he's a really, really good human being. And so that's something that actually, before I even got here, that's something my dad told me. He was like, he's a really great human being. And so just that's something that I've really started to realize, just he's a really good dude, really wants to see everyone here succeed. And then he's gotten on my ass a few times. I remember before the Minnesota game, because he had told me a film about this one shot that I took, this like kind of running floater I'd taken a few times. And so I guess I had done it again the game before, and he kind of called me out in front of everyone. He was like, yo, Cole, you can't take this shot. It's a terrible shot. Don't do this. He was like, don't do this BS again. And I was like, damn. it's just because we watched film a lot together, just talked a lot. He's always told me just to be honest with him. So I would expect the same from him. So I'm just kind of happy he did that. And then just since then, I've just been making strides, getting better every single game.
We can tell. You can tell you want to be the best that you can be. Your relationship with Mo, I think that was fun for us in Central Florida to realize that you guys were such good friends. Kind of give us the backstory on that. And that must have been fun when we saw him pull up and pick you up at the airport too after you got drafted here.
Hey, I got to say about that. He didn't pick me up from the airport. It's contrary to what people believe.
I knew it was a myth.
I wrote on Twitter and said it, but me and my cousin had landed, and I forgot Glenn?
It's Glenn. Yeah, Glenn.
Glenn picked us up. Glenn, the driver, picked us up. But then later that night, Mo came and scooped us from our hotel just to hang out when we could hang out.
When you could hang out, yeah, exactly. But where does that friendship start from? And you guys have been in touch for the last several years as well.
Yeah, no, that's one of my best friends. I mean, I'm trying to remember my freshman year of high school, I started playing with this AAU team called PSA Cardinals, and he had been playing on this team for a while, and the coach that recruited me there to play, I was 14, 15 to play on the 17U team, and this is the team Mo's already. I remember he had me on a phone call with Mo one time, just because when I wasn't sure about coming to the team, and I ended up joining the team and just ended up hitting it off with him. We just became real cool, real close. Ended up staying at my house like probably half the summer, and we just got really, really close. We've just been close since then.
That's terrific.
No, he did not pick him up for the last time.
So
he
we
did
got
not,
that. So we
yeah,
got that.
He did not pick him up at the airport. All right. I know Cole has to go soon. So can we throw a couple of fan questions
yes,
at him?
Yes, yes. We got some fans chomping at the bit to hear.
I have one here that says, the jacket from draft night. Where is the jacket from draft night, and what will you do with it now? You probably can't wear that again, right?
Yeah, I probably won't end up wearing it again. I mean, I might end up getting a frame, but that jacket was from Dolce & Gabbana, a little D&G action.
Nice. So
there was a few I was able to pick out from, and I saw that one. I was like, yo, that's the one right there. That's sweet. That's real sweet. And I was just like, yeah, we're going to rock with that one.
Well done. We got one here too. Can you make Spike Lee a Magic fan? Any shot at that?
I mean, let's see. I don't know. He's been a diehard Knicks fan before I was born. So I mean, I don't even have enough years on this earth to try to convince him to come to be a Magic fan. But he definitely shows me some love. And even before we played the Knicks, he had texted me like good luck and all that. So I mean, yeah, probably not.
I think I'd like to see if Cole hits a buzzer beater against the Knicks at some point in his career. What happens? He's probably going to be mad.
I'm expecting an angry text message or angry phone call. A couple of
bad emojis I think are coming your way from him on that one.
I don't think he knows what emojis are.
All right, then straight up curse words is what's going to happen. Then. Right. I got you.
It might be that.
I got you. All right. Here's another one.
I've got one here. I got one from my 8-year-old grandson. His name is Cole. So automatically now, you're automatically his favorite player instantly when the Magic drafted you. So my grandson wanted to know, what do you like to do when you're not playing basketball? What in your spare time? What do you like to do?
Good question, Cole. Well,
so it's a few things. Actually, I have a few younger siblings. I actually have an 8-year-old brother, a 9-year-old brother, a 6-year-old sister. And then I have my 18-year-old sister, but I mean, get rid of her. Yeah, I like my younger siblings better. Now, I'm joking aside, but I really like to spend time with just my family, a few of my friends. And then besides that, when I'm not with them, when I'm by myself, I'm a big video game head. Since quarantine started back in March, I've been a Call of Duty, professional Call of Duty player. And so that's been my go-to thing.
So are you online talking with people, friends, teammates? Are you got the whole deal?
Yeah, so I was playing with Gary Clark last night.
You were?
Call of Duty. Yeah, I'm about to try to play with James Ennis today.
All right.
And who wins these inter-squad battles on Call of Duty?
Fortunately, in these games, we're on the same team.
Okay, all right.
But just if it ever got down to a shootout, just know I'm coming out on top.
Okay.
Do you like George's grasp of video games? Who's winning these inner squads?
Who's winning these matches?
It seems like someone's never played a video game before.
Not Call of Duty. Not since I was your age.
Pac-Man is the last game.
They still have Pac-Man? They still do Pac-Man?
Yeah, still got it. That's a classic.
Donkey Kong. That was my jam right there.
Of course,
Donkey
Kong. That's the game right there.
All right. Hey, there's a lot of people that want to know your go-to basketball shoe. You can only wear one basketball shoe. What would you pick?
It's a few shoes. I mean, it probably comes down to two shoes, probably either KD's or Kyrie's. Those have been the two shoes I've been wearing for some years. They're super comfortable. Right now, what I've been playing in all this season has been KD's, but probably the Kyrie one's probably my favorite basketball shoes of all time. So, I mean, it's either one of the two.
Okay.
I took Cole around, guys, on Media Day or a little whatever we had called Media Day this year. And one of the segments was they were calling it Copper Drop, and they showed Cole a lot of shoes. And he dropped a lot of shoes. He was not feeling any of the shoes. I thought maybe there was a reason, but it's just that you didn't like the way they look, or what's the deal with a lot? I mean, you dropped probably 90% of them.
Yeah, I mean, they just weren't nice shoes.
All right. That's good enough. All right, I have one here first.
Can't blame you for that. All right, last one. This question comes in, and it says, you're alone under the basket. LeBron has a full head of steam attacking the rim. Do you jump? Or do you get out of the way? What does Cole Anthony do in that moment?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question? I don't think I heard you correctly. I really don't think I heard you correctly.
You're standing under the rim. LeBron James is coming at you. Full head of steam. going up for the basket. Do you contest the shot or do you get out of the way? What does Cole Anthony do in that moment?
You're
going after it, aren't you?
Absolutely not. There's a few things stop me from doing this. There's a few reasons. One, he's double my weight. Two, he's way taller than me, way stronger than me. Three, I'm not really the best off the vert jumper, so I don't like my chances in that matchup right there. So I'm gonna politely move out the way and let him have that done.
Yeah,
that's just that. It's a business decision.
Well, you're not a man.
It's a business decision.
He'll have a long career because of that business decision.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping for it.
That is very smart. Very smart decision. Well, Cole, we appreciate the time, man. This has been fun to get to know you a little bit. Hopefully one day when we get through all this, we get to meet you in person. That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be nice. Hopefully sometime soon.
Hopefully soon for you guys.
Well, keep up the great work. Everyone's excited to have you here and Magic fans. And you guys seem to have turned a corner. We can't wait to see where it goes. Thanks, Cole. Sir. Appreciate it. Best of luck rest of the way.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much.